Welcome to the call today. This is Bruce Townsend, your host of FitnessGuruAdvice.com. And our guest today is David Grassoffi, our abs specialist. And if you are just now joining us, please make sure that you are muted, self-mute. You can hit 4-star to mute yourself. Today you're going to learn the top 10 secrets to developing stunning six-pack abs. You'll learn how to lose weight, even if you have 50 to 100 pounds to lose, to firm and flatten your waistline, and even if you have obstacles such as low back pain. And if you're just now joining us, please mute yourself, hit 4-star as our conference begins. My name is Bruce Townsend from FitnessGuruAdvice.com, and in this special teletraining today, we're presenting abs training and weight loss tips and advice that you can use to immediately achieve leaner, stronger, more energetic body. And our guarantee to you is that you're going to walk away from this training with tips on how to lose weight, firm and flatten your abs, increase your core strength, and increase your energy levels. Make sure you stay on the entire training today, because at the end of the call, you will learn some simple methods to develop a flat, trim waistline, to develop those sexy six-pack abs, even if you've been working out regularly, careful with your diet, and still couldn't drop the belly fat. So, and again, if you're just joining us, please mute yourself, hit 4-star, so that we can, we're also recording this, and we'll make the replay available at the after the call today, and we want to get a good recording for that. So, our guest today is David Grassoffi. And we're getting some background noise now. I've still got several people who haven't muted themselves. If you can please help me, I'm going to tell you what your area code is so that you know that you're not muted. If you can check on that, 4-star will mute you. Area code's 561-731-610-630. 304-609. If you can check, make sure that you're muted, please. Hit 4-star to mute. Hitting it again will unmute you, so you should hear a message when you mute that whether you're muted or not. So our guest today is David Grassoffi. He's been an exercise specialist, strength coach, and personal trainer, working with all types of people from professional boxers, to housewives, to just regular Joes who want to get rid of fat or cellulite, and he's been doing that since 1994. David is certified with the International Sports Sciences Association and also by the prestigious Czech Institute as a corrective high-performance exercise kinesiologist. He's a health and lifestyle coach and a golf biomechanics pro. He's also one of only 37 trainers in the United States to hold all of these credentials. Now, I like to start off with a quote, and the quote I have today is from Bruce Lee, "Self-conquest is the greatest of victories." David, are you on the call?
Yes, I am, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, David, and for being on our call today. What do you think about that quote? How does that apply to people who may be on the call today who want to lose weight or get stronger? We may even have some athletes or even personal trainers involved who are looking for some tips today too.
A lot of that, I would say, comes from your attitude of what victory means to you. Because the self-concept, I mean, do you want flat abs? Do you want to lose belly fat? Do you want to be healthier? And a lot of it comes around, are you going to be disciplined enough? Can you do it on your own? Do you need some help? Do you need some help from a trainer? Do you need help from a nutritionist? Do you need maybe some help from a psychotherapist or something like that? How big are you on achievement? How much does achievement mean to you? How much does that come back and satisfy your urges when you set out on a goal and then you achieve it? You know, do you have the loyalty to yourself, and not only to yourself, but to the loyalty to your family members or your relatives, to do what's necessary to get yourself healthy and possibly get off the up and down bandwagon of yo-yo dieting or something like that, and become more a healthy person? And do you have the courage to do it? Okay, a lot of people get going and they don't have the courage to finish through. I coach a high school wrestling team, so I've watched kids for 20 plus years. You know, some of them can come walking in there with all the, they think what they have is courage and stuff, but, you know, do they have what it takes to stick around? And that leads into perseverance. Do you have what it takes to finish the job once you started? Those are the kind of things that I kind of, I talk to my clients all the time. Do you have the pride in yourself to get it done? You know, little things knock people off their perch really fast, and most of the time they just go back down to their old habits and their old ways. The really successful people that, A, get this all done, which we're going to talk about today, and keep it done, kind of have all those characteristics kind of in them. And if you don't have them in there, you know, there's ways to get them in there. I mean, you can go get some hypnosis therapy. You can go buy hypnosis stuff. You can talk to friends. You can get yourself in a group of people that are all trying to achieve the same goal, which I found to be probably one of the best ways. I live by a tennis club, and the women get together, and we get it done, and they feed off each other. So it's kind of an incorporating thing on, you know, is it your greatest victory? You're darn right. Whenever you've ever done something that you've achieved a mountaintop when you never thought you were, it's the best feeling you ever have. So if it's losing weight, that's one thing. If it's becoming a professional football player, that's another thing. You know, if it's becoming the great, you know, getting rid of your high cholesterol or your high blood pressure or anything like that, those are all types of things that you can set out and make it a goal. And sometimes we don't have to do it overnight, and the obsessive part of America is we do try to do it overnight. I mean, if you go to Europe or been in Asia many times, they move a little slower than we do. So they just, you know, take one day at a time, and they try to get it, you know, something like this done in a reasonable amount of time, because it isn't going to, you know, it isn't really going to matter if it takes you 5 weeks or 5 months. If you get there, you get there. Just don't fall off. Is that good enough, Bruce?
That's excellent. Thanks. So so where the mind and attitude lead, the body's going to have to follow then, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So the issue doesn't start with the body. The issue starts with that determination and the attitude.
Right.
Excellent. If you're just joining us on the call, please hit 4-star to mute yourself. And make sure you stay on the call until the end. We're going to be teaching you some secrets that will literally flatten your stomach and reveal those ripped, rock-hard abs that everybody wants. And so this is going to be some awesome information that David's going to share with us. So in particular, pay close attention to the last question that I'm going to ask David today. David, you've got some just awesome credentials, and I know that you train athletes, you're working with wrestlers, I know you work with golfers and championship boxers. How did you get where you are today? Can you share some of your personal story of what got you to where you are today, working with average people as well as some of these top athletes?
Sure. I mean, basically it all started when I was a little kid, and I used to watch Monday Night Football, believe it or not, and I always enjoyed the sporting arena, so I kind of accelerated into that world. So, I mean, I played just about everything as a child, and wrestling was kind of my bigger bag. I was kind of better at that, and so I went on to college and participated in that. And when my college days were over, I ended up being a high school wrestling coach, and I've been doing that ever since. And I also coach high school baseball at the JV level and freshman football. So it's kind of a full-rounded thing, and that's, you know, just how kind of how it started. And then I got an opportunity through a friend that was a boxing promoter to start on Boxers, and I was lucky enough to have a world champion. He was already a world champion, Greg Haugen here. I live in Tacoma, Washington, and he lived a couple miles north, and he was moving home from Las Vegas. And that's just kind of how it started. And you gave me about 30 seconds to convince him that I was good enough, and it worked. And we're still friends today, even though it's been a little while. But I still train people. I train a lot more people online than I used to, because more and more people are, you know, it's a bigger, not audience is what it is. It's just that I get a lot of questions from people, and then next thing you know, man, you have to do this. I got one today, for instance. You know, for instance, this lady's taking boxing training, and her boxing coach tells her to work out her abdominals at the beginning of the workout. Well, somewhere along the line, she had read something that I wrote that that isn't right, and so she emailed me today. And so I answered her question pretty firmly, but, she, you know, when you're treading on other trainers' turf, it's kind of like a lion. You better be careful on how you do it. So that's what I told her in return. Me, you can tread on my turf, but it all depends what kind of guy you are to begin with. So, I mean, that's my background, and I've been doing that ever since. I write articles. I have a pretty large newsletter subscribership, and I write articles, do a little pet projects. I'm finishing up Flatten Your Abs 2, which would be another additional ab book compared to the one I wrote a year or two ago, and it's in its second edition. And then I've got a few other projects going on. Keep myself fairly busy. I have three young boys, one in college, and so life moves right along, Bruce. It moves right along. So that's enough about me. Let's get on to a couple of these questions that these people might want a good answer for.
Sure. Here's question number one. Is it true that proper nutrition is responsible for 70% of lean body? I keep hearing this over and over. Now, my diet isn't that great, but I do crunches almost every day with almost zero results. Help. And this is, I think, represents probably a lot of people thinking that,
sure,
you know, if I'm wanting to get rid of belly fat, just doing crunches every day is going to do that. What's your response to that, David?
Sure. That probably is more than a one-pronged question. It leads into a few different answers, and most of it comes he self-described or she self-described my diet isn't really well, so it's kind of hard to describe maybe what it is and how she or he does it. A little bit more information would be good, but most of the time, to all the people, it's a lifestyle that you need to adopt. You kind of have to adopt a fitness-oriented or health-oriented lifestyle and kind of make your focus upon being healthy. Doing things that are good for your body instead of things that are bad for your body, such as, you know, excessive drinking, smoking, recreational drug use, lack of exercise, stress, putting yourself in stress-oriented world. Because what happens is when you can't stress, you know, it goes really deep into your psyche a little bit, but if your insulin level and blood sugar level is off all the time, your stress level is going to be enormous, and then you can't handle stress. Your body's made to handle different stress, either physically or mentally and emotionally. And when your diet is really poor, your ability to handle that stress is bad. And so we go to our doctors most of the time, and we ask for something that will override the natural body, you know, processes to eliminate that stress. You know, as far as doing crunches all day long, I think most of the people on this phone call know that, hey, you know, they're good to a certain extent within a program parameter as far as exercise prescription goes. However, if we do too many of them, we end up with looking, you know, kind of hunchbacked. And we end up maybe with thoracic outlet syndrome. You know, if any of you people ever get tingling in your fingers or maybe in the back of your neck, you need to do certain specific exercises to alleviate that. We also shorten the rectus abdominis, which attaches to the top of the rib cage into your pelvis. And by shortening that, you pull yourself all into forward head posture. Most of men end up with a flat back. So you picture an old guy with no butt kind of sitting there swaying, kind of wobbling around. Your head protrudes forward, which puts massive pressure upon your cervical spine. Your hands, basically, if I walk behind you, I can see your palms when I'm not supposed to. And then when you throw yourself into bad kyphotic posture, then then your physiological parts start to fall apart, and that leads to more psychological parts that fall apart. Because as Tony Robbins says in his little tapes a long time ago, people that smile are a lot happier than people that frown. And people that have bad posture tend to be people that frown. So one of the things that I work on extensively with any new client is to correct postural issues, which alleviates all the tension upon all those joints and kind of makes them a little happier, because they basically learn to stand up straight and look nice. And then they go from there, and then their bodies feel a heck of a lot better after that's over. And, again, it goes back to lifestyle and what kind of lifestyle you have. And because if you're drinking a lot and you're doing anything and you don't exercise, your liver's overburdened, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to lose any body fat at all. Because your body is overstressed, and it's only going to handle the things that it necessarily needs to handle at the particular time that it needs. And so that's just a pretty broad answer for a question, but hopefully we can get a few of them, hopefully that answered it well enough. Because getting chiseled abs, again, is a lot of nutrition. It's made in the kitchen. It isn't made in the gym, because all of us have abs that are sitting underneath there. Most people can run their finger if they're not too have too much body fat, and you can feel bumps. You can feel them. It's all sitting there. It just needs to be, fat needs to be removed. Now, how you lose the fat, that's another question that you're going to be asking me.
Absolutely. What you just described is not really the dream body that we are trying to get when we were working out, but essentially what you're saying is if we're working out incorrectly, we can be creating muscle imbalances that's going to begin to shift our structure in the wrong direction and create problems rather than solve problems.
Correct, Bruce.
That a summary?
Absolutely. And the people that are on this phone call, if you're a gym people and you go to the gym and you kind of watch and you guys kind of go at the same time with other people, have you ever noticed their routines never change? A lot of people, they just go to the gym, and I get on my treadmill, and I go for 30 minutes, and then I go home, okay? Your body's a little bit more adaptive than that, and so changing things, like what you do and how you do it, and, you know, and again, you guys are listening to me, and everybody says they're an expert. You know, everybody does, so... you got to kind of take everything with a grain of salt, what everybody says, and try to sift through some of it that will apply to you, directly to you and where your situation is right now.
Okay, super.
Okay.
This is our second question. It's a bit detailed, but we'll try to work on pulling out of this what would be a bit more broad-based and represent a lot of people on the call. She says that what could be causing my protruded low? I have not had children. 43 years old. I'm on a detox elimination diet and have cut out dairy, wheat, and gluten, meat, among other things, and I still have protruding lower abs and are bloating. I believe I have a very strong core and good posture. Quite lean. Have a very small waistline. I wonder if I am just going to have to put up with this forever, as no exercise or diet seems to help. I do have irritable bowel syndrome, but I thought changing my diet would help, but it hasn't. Any help or suggestions would be appreciated. And again, I know this is a bit detailed, and we can't give like medical advice here, but I'm sure there's got to be a lot of people who are frustrated. They think that they're doing the right things, and yet they're not experiencing the results.
Okay, and just in the framework of what irritable bowel syndrome is, there's many factors that can contribute to it. And one of it is stress. Some people get stressed a little bit more than others, and if you're not physically able, again, we discussed in that, to handle the stress, it plays out itself in different places of the body. Okay, stress will sabotage anyone's ability to lose fat. I can tell you that right now. There are a number of reasons for this, but the major one is like cortisol, which is the opposite of adrenal, so it comes out and it affects you in a very stressful way. Okay, some people will have food allergies or food intolerances to things. So this person right here is at least trying to separate and pull things out of their diet that seems to be what the canned response would be to that. So if I had somebody come and they said they're having irritable bowel problems, I would probably take them off gluten, and we'll start with that. And if it isn't work, then we're going to go to plan B. Then we go to plan C. Okay. And also there's probably an imbalance in their gut bacteria, and they obviously have some digestive disorders. And I would probably suspect that they have infection inside. You know, have they ever taken, you know, have they ever been knocked out for an operation? Have they ever had to take an immense amount of antibiotics that kill the good bacteria in your body? Because sometimes people in this situation end up with 20% good bacteria and 80% bad. And it also leads in, you know, it's tough to treat candida, which is a form of yeast infection inside of your body with irritable bowel syndrome. And usually it's just an infection issue that needs to be addressed. And, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, as you made it up before. And what I do is when I find someone with this situation and they're going down, and I can try to advise them through what we've already kind of discussed. And if they come out at the end, nothing's really worked, then I hand them off to one of my friends that's a naturopathic doctor. And most of the time, you know, he takes care of them. About 99% of the time, he goes and digs deeper through blood tests and stuff like adrenal tests and saliva tests, and goes and finds out the exact problem that this person has, and then addresses it with supplements, addresses it with different foods, addresses it with some type of exercise and stuff like that. So that's a complicated question that gets kind of deep. You know, again, you know, are you gassy after you eat? Are you gassy before you eat? Are you always bloated? I mean, there's probably about 30 questions I would have to ask that person to dig a little deeper. But they appear to be doing what they should be doing at the very beginning here.
Okay,
I'd find a naturopathic doctor, and if they want to email me, I can send them to the one I use.
Okay.
How's that sound?
They can email you, or they can also email me.
They can email you. Yeah, and you get them to me, and I can get them to that person in about 5 minutes. So.
Okay. And I also have some natural healing programs. I studied under a man who's the number one natural healer in the world. I'm a certified herbalist. And
I forgot about that.
And I will just in a nutshell say that every problem has a root, and you can take the path of just trying to manage the symptoms, which kind of covers it up, or you can deal with the root issue. And so irritable bowel has a root issue, and it could be physical, emotional, mental. It could be all those things as David touched on. And one of the things is healthy bowel, getting the bowel healthy by detox and cleaning it out. So you can send me an email at support@fitnessguruadvice.com, and I can get you some more information on that as well. But the bottom line is that it's a yeast that's the yeast, in terms of yeast infection, is that whether it's that, germs, viruses, parasites, all those are garbage eaters. They have a food source, and when you get healthy and clean the toxins out, you remove their food source.
And what's their number one food source?
For sugar. Sugar for yeast infection.
Yeah.
Sugar's a big one. And antibiotics causes that quite a bit, too, because it kills
right.
the good intestinal flora, and it allows the bad bad bacteria to overrun, and you end up with a yeast infection. So, but sugar is a big feeder for that, just like sugar feeds cancer. Cancer is anaerobic. It exists in low oxygen, so it doesn't burn oxygen. It burns sugar. So that's going to be sugar continues to be a big health problem in a lot of ways. Going on to our next question, it says, how do I stop evening cravings and nighttime eating? I've had my total colon removed, and eating too much veggies, fruits, and fiber causes me to have a bowel obstruction. I can briefly cover the bowel obstruction. Again, if you can send me an email, I've got an herbal product that will help get the bowel healthy. But in dealing with the cravings, obviously that's a challenge, David, for anyone who wants to lose weight. And what would be your response to that?
I would probably say that we are talking about someone with a sugar imbalance or an insulin resistant situation. So most of the people that have had their colon removed, as you know, will have trouble with fruits and fiber and vegetables in their raw form. So I would suggest that maybe if you juice those, that you would probably have a little less problems as far as the bloating and feeling bad. But the nighttime cravings is more than likely probably with sugar and insulin resistance. is caused basically by the overconsumption of refined carbs, and it elevates cortisol. It ends up giving you a massive nutritional deficiency. It strains your liver. It basically makes you kind of physically inactive, and you definitely end up with some sleep deprivation. So as they're saying that they're having problems at night, so if I go and eat sugar at night, it's more than likely going to turn around in a couple hours and erupt my sleeping pattern. So my rapid eye movement problems probably, my rapid eye movement sleep when I get to go deep probably won't work. So I wake up stressed and I'm still tired from the day. And then this pattern repeats itself day after day after day until other health situations, Bruce, show their ugly head. And and a lot of it comes down to, it just impairs the way that your insulin works, and it leads to, we're going to talk about it later, but it leads to stubborn fat, and it leads to you becoming heavier, especially pear-shaped around the middle section. And it could also have something to do with adrenal issues, or how toxic their body is. Do they crave those same carbohydrates at night, and they have those cravings because they have the yeast infection that we just described? This is a good question to ask, and a lot of people feel, the question before, and not that they have irritable bowel syndrome or they have a colon removed, but they feel a lot of these symptoms and feelings as they roll through the day. So the more, I guess, you and I can combine to give them as much information as they can, is the better that we can do it. I would really, I'd make sure that they try to do a detox of their liver, as no sugars, no meats, fuels at the end of the day, maybe some corn kernels, maybe some chewed up, ground up almonds, and you really need to take a lot of vitamin C, a good plant based multivitamin, not synthetic. Use some recovery meals, and most definitely get yourself some calcium, magnesium in your body, and that should balance you, start to balance you out. But again, we can do tests on that and get a little farther in that. But hopefully that's general enough for someone to, and you can add to that too. So,
well, there's cravings can be either physical or emotional slash mental. So on the, and you hit very well on the physical side, which is if your body's deficient in certain nutrients, it's going to crave foods that's going to have that nutrient in it. And so so if you don't have a good balanced diet, and maybe you want to add some superfoods to your diet or some juicing, which is a great – juicing is like the next thing to an IV.
I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, juice will – fruits will tend to digest by them anyway in about 30 minutes. So it's one of the things that helps – you can build energy because digestion takes, for an average person, would take about 60% of their energy during the day, just trying to, and when we stuff ourselves, particularly with foods that are hard to digest, it saps our energy. That energy can cause us to, our blood sugar to go, crash. That can cause an appetite increase by itself. So there's, the way and how you eat during the day is going to affect what's going to happen in the evening too.
Absolutely.
So making sure that and a good superfood type powder that you can mix with your juice in the morning, could help throughout the whole day. But you may be on the physical side, maybe some deficiencies causing it, or on the mental emotional side, is tend to stuff our emotions with food and not even realize that we're stressed. A lot of our stress that we carry, which ends up, being stored in our bodies through neck pain, back pain, irritable bowel syndrome, and headaches, and a host of other type of symptoms and diseases we may be feeling, but a lot of the stress or emotions that that causes us to eat can be below the radar. We're not even realizing that it's kind of eating at us. So when we don't give our minds any instructions for an unresolved problem, it will try to solve that problem the best it can. And a lot of times, it's coping just by causing us to stuff those emotions with food. So we're eating recreationally rather than because our body's actually signaling to us that we need to eat. So if it's nighttime eating, there's a lot of things you need to look at, which is your environment, what you're dealing with during the day. Did you just get off work and so you're carrying stress? Are you watching TV and so anxiety from TV is creating cravings? So a host of things that could be going on there. And but again, you can send Dave an email or me an email on that, and we'll try to get you some more information or some more resources, which is one of the big things that we're trying to do here, and which is why I asked Dave to come on the call, is to be a resource for you to get the information that you need. So there's not all the information that, in a 60-minute call, we're not going to be able to give all the answers here. So I'd encourage you to email us, and also I encourage you to get Dave's ebook on Firm and Flatten Your Abs, because there's a ton of really good information in there, and that will relate to losing weight and the correct way to work out so that you don't injure yourself. And Dave, would you share a bit more about what they would find in the ebook?
Ah, sure, Bruce. You betcha. Hey, and most of you guys that are listening, what you want to do is you want to think of your body kind of as a temple, and your idle butt is the devil's fat depository. So most of the people will be thrown on an exercise program without being evaluated. Now, it's kind of real hard to evaluate someone across the internet, but I have some forms and stuff that you fill out. In the ebook, I have two basic things that you need to read to see exactly where you're at and where you end up within the program. Most people, I start at least level one for a little while. The nice thing about this program, I mean, we have 14 abdominal myths that I talk about, and talking about crunches and talking about all kinds of sit-ups and what happens. I think our question number one went into it in pretty good detail. It also tells you, it discusses interabdominal pressure. You know, how do you need to breathe when you're doing an exercise to prevent low back pain? So, Bruce, you earlier talked about low back pain. Well, low back pain is obviously, most of you know, is a pretty big deterrent to people that are trying to do workouts, and let alone abdominal workouts. So this whole program, basically, I started, you know, developing it for my boxers, so it kind of goes high level eventually. But it also comes back to my training at the Czech Institute about repairing back injuries. And that's kind of where it starts. So I would like a functional core. So we talk about inner and outer units, where an inner unit is your transverse abdominis, your diaphragm, and your metiphalus muscles. And this is all a unit inside yourself that kind of stabilizes your spine before you start doing outer unit things, such as throwing a baseball. So if it's dysfunctional, then it's going to lead to back problems and other dysfunctional things. I helped a baseball pitcher once that he had a bad shoulder all the time, and I said, okay, he's got a bad shoulder. Well, you know what it was? His toe was always hurt, and he never talked about that his toe hurt. Well, his toe, by landing on the pitching rubber, now we're in the middle of the World Series, by landing on the ground altered his biomechanics and threw way too much force up into his shoulder. So once we kind of got that out of the way and we fixed his lower leg, basically, from medial pronation, his shoulder problems slid away over time. And he didn't really have to have surgery, and that's exactly what it meant. So, you know, it's kind of an overall big program. I mean, it's an overall program. And then I go into 15 fat loss things that are pretty basic. We're talking about sleep, talking about proper eating forms. But each and every the exercise, there's 7 levels of the program. We've got a large question and answer in there. And for all the people that are listening, you feel free to email me. I'm very good at responding in somewhat detail. And in addition to this, I'm going to give these other books for free. If you want to go get my book, please do. It lets me pay my bills for college and for my kids. But I'm going to give you some books at the end of this call called Posture and Core Conditioning, and it's a basic small unit of this book. And then I'm going to hand you another book called Stubborn Fat Solutions, because Bruce and I are going to talk a little bit about Stubborn Fat book. Goes into more detail, because mostly everybody has it and wants to know how to get rid of it. So we're going to proceed from there, and thanks a lot. All right, Bruce, what's up next?
Okay, great. And you can, if you're hearing the call, you can go to flatabs.fitnessguruadvice.com and get the Firm and Flatten Your Abs ebook. Flat Abs, the Fitness Guru Advice. Advice is spelled with a C, by the way, not an F, .com. Next question is, can this program heal inguinal hernias in a 60-year-old man?
Most of the time, yes. Inguinal hernia, I do believe, is the one that goes up through the diaphragm wall. I might be wrong, but I'm not. Didn't look that one up for you, Bruce. What you want to do is you want to be able to stabilize. I wish I knew if this guy had some serious heartburn problems, too. You want to stabilize and learn how to use your inner and outer unit, which I just talked about. So within the ebook, and you're going to get, if you go to the website when I give you at the end of posture, about the posture and core conditioning, it'll give you some base exercises to take care of this situation. So, yes, a 60-year-old man most certainly can alleviate a lot of the problems with that. Now, the other part is, does he need surgery for that? How far along is that problem, or does he not want it? A lot of people stay away from it, and they just kind of live with it. But, yes, the ebook will strengthen that whole entire unit and make it a lot easier on him.
Okay, excellent. The next question, how do I get rid of stubborn belly fat? What can I do to lose more weight with my exercise routine or eating habits?
Okay, first of all, for all you guys, and I'm going to talk pretty fast here. So, again, you can go and get the Stubborn Fat book when I'm done. I'll give you an email address. You can go download your own copy. Okay, stubborn fat is a major problem that affects the vast majority of all our population going on today. Okay, and apparently, you know, it just seems to be impossible to remove even through dieting and exercise for some people. Okay, stubborn fat is slowly metabolized. It's adipose tissue that resists fat burning. So remember that right there. I'm going to try to burn fat, but it resists it. Okay, because norepinephrine and adrenal gland in your adrenal glands comes out and tries to open up a fat cell because you're pumping weights. You're pumping weights, or you're on the elliptical, or you're doing whatever. So it has to get fuel from somewhere. After a certain amount of time, it burns through your basic carbohydrates in your muscles, and now it wants to go get fat. And so when it comes to the door and has the key, your key doesn't work in the lock anymore. So it's fat that's highly resistant to breaking down, and it just has different receptors. It has beta receptors and alpha receptors. And the more beta is on there, the harder it is to get off. Is it entirely difficult to get rid of? Yes. Is there a way to do it? Absolutely. So even exercise will fail to burn it off if you don't follow the proper diet that comes along with it, and then you have to address within that framework how much excess estrogen do we have in our body, and how do we get rid of it? Okay, I already talked a little bit about insulin resistance, and then you know where's your thyroid? Is it hypothyroidism? You got to figure that out too, and that's a situation by which you can probably find out via your doctors in a doctor appointment, or Bruce might have a resource to find out whether or not you got some hypothyroidism, which is slow, okay, or low. The obstacles that you're going to have excess estrogen. The most notable object of stubborn fat is female hormones, okay? Guys are getting too much female hormone in their diet through the way that they're eating. All the sugars, all the refined stuff, the hormones that are going in food, the pesticides, the herbicides, all the garbage that goes around. That's why you see little boys that are little doughboys, and they kind of have some breast tissue at the same time. And it's not very difficult as we get older that continues to develop, and it's really hard. Let's say you've been that way since you were little. It's hard. However, it's not undoable. So you just have to have the, you know, when we talked about, you know, the patience and the wherewithal and the persistence, you just have to have it. And so excess of estrogen occurs due to three major problems: an inability for your liver to detoxify estrogenic substances, number one, accumulation of estrogen mimic chemicals in your body, okay, I'm going to go into those, and aging, okay, which involves an increased ratio of estrogen over other hormones. So you just have to, you know, you know, understand, and then, you know, what causes insulin resistance. And all these things are wrapped around each other like, you know, nobody's business. And how we get rid of it, we start eating a little different, and we start exercising a little different, and we can alleviate that. There's certain herbs that'll do it, and you're an herbalist. I bet you can name some. And then there's certain foods that if you take in instead of the excess refined foods, your estrogen level will start to decrease. So that's a little, I guess, a beginning thing on that. And I know there's probably going to be another question on it, and I can go into a wee bit more detail on it. So what's up next?
What is the best diet to have a six-pack yet not lose any muscle? I'm kind of concerned with leaning down for the expense of precious muscle.
Okay, well, the number one thing that I would say for you, the person that wrote this question, is that when you work out, to make sure that you understand what a recovery meal is. A recovery meal will instantly go inside your body, feed the carbohydrate deprivation that's just happened, and increase amino acids throughout your body. So I would, and this is what I do with everybody that I work out, everything that goes down, I mean, including myself, I take in some good whey protein, okay, and I use organic whey protein just because I'm that kind of guy. You don't necessarily have to, but it's out there. So I take in about 30 grams of whey protein, and I either use a banana as my carbohydrate source, and then I consume those probably 5 minutes afterwards. And if you're in a gym and it looks pretty funky and you don't have one of those jars, some of the times I tell the people to put it in a little Ziploc bag. When they're done working out, they got two scoops of it in there, and they have their banana in there, and they walk over to the drinking fountain, and they just fill it up with a little water, zip the bag up, swish it around to where it makes it almost a consistency, a little bit more of a pudding, bite the end off, and slide it right in. Okay? Now, if you want to, the question was, do you want to not lose muscle while you're doing this? And this is exactly how you do it. And then about an hour later, you only take in 30 grams of the protein, 30 minutes, about an hour later of that, again and again, you can have start eating. But if you don't want to lose any muscle tissue and turn that cortisol button on high, you need to feed yourself immediately to shut that thing off. Does that make sense to you?
That makes tremendous sense. That was really good advice right there. And
when you don't do it, Bruce, oh man, when the boxers aren't adherent to doing it, I could tell the next day because they'll be tired and lethargic. They won't, because we work out pretty hard, and then if they don't pump that stuff right back into them and kind of get back into the feeling good, then it's a mental drain. And then they come back the next day, and then they're standing in front of me, and I go, you didn't do it. And about 90% of the time, I go, you're right, I didn't. So I said, all you can do is go, could you do it tomorrow? Or please do it today. And then what happens is I start bringing it with me. I don't trust them to bring it.
So when you're working out, you're burning, you're consuming your blood glycogen, and so
sure.
That depletion then causes what, a catabolic effect in the muscle that begins to break down.
And what you want to do is you want to get your body to think of it this way. You go from carb fuel to fat fuel as fast as you can. So have you ever heard of the second wind?
Sure.
Everybody's heard of something. Well, what's happening there? You just went from carb fuel to fat fuel. Now, how fast you do that depends on whether or not you can win the race. Does it make sense? Okay. So if I'm running and I'm not in really good shape, that difference between, okay, I'm running out of fuel and I can feel it, but my coach is still yelling at me to keep going, then I keep running. Let's say we're just doing a track thing. I keep running and running and running. All of a sudden, I feel a little bit better, and then I can keep running. Well, that gap right there that we're talking about is your ability to go from carb fuel to fat fuel. Now, in a case of that runner, if he's a good runner, the faster he can close that gap, the faster he never has to slow down, and the more chances he's going to win. Same thing goes with boxing. You get people in the later rounds. There's a lot of people that don't understand that concept I just gave you, and they poop out. But yet they run 10 miles a day. Yet they do all this stuff, but they don't feed themselves right, and they don't understand the concept of it. And once someone understands that, it's easier for them to deal with it when it comes to them. Like some of you are out there, you're going to be out of shape, you're going to start, and all of a sudden, oh, that wall, I quit. Nah, just give it another minute or so. And then each time you do it, that wall comes down, 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 to where it doesn't even really
affect. So you can train your body to speed up that switch.
You darn right. There you go. Exactly.
And when you get the switch is when you start getting rid of the body fat.
Correct. Because you're just going to burn. I mean, your liver has 80 grams in it. Your muscles have it in it. And until your body senses that you're getting too low, it won't pull your fat out because it wants to keep the fat on your body just for basic genetic survival reasons. But we have too much in general, as we all know, and that's what we're discussing here today. What's up next?
And last, related to that, do
Furman
flatten your abs? Do you go into that, developing that, the speed of that switch?
I go into it in my Stubborn Fat Solutions ebook that everybody's going to get for free today. It goes into that.
Okay.
The Stubborn Fat Solution ebook kind of came from like 5 articles I wrote over time. And then my friend Tom Venuto, who's a good buddy of mine, he just said, "Dave, man, you got to take this thing and squeeze it into." So he took it all and made it into a little ebook, and it actually turned out pretty well. But I just give it away.
Wow. Okay.
So go ahead.
That's powerful information. Next question. I'm at 16% body fat, but still have flabby lower abs. How do I get rid of it?
Okay. Here we go. And the question is this a woman?
This is a woman. She also says, "I have 2 little kids."
Oh, okay. For one thing, here we go. We're going to we can go into the stubborn fat situation again. But a lot of times what happens is after 2 sections, C-sections, you got to realize that after pregnancy, a body needs to normalize. It takes about 9 months or more to get back into physiological balance. Does that make sense to you, Bruce? And the balance is just not hormone related, and it's also related to your body weight, okay, and posture and muscle tension and normal, length tension relationships. And what happens is a lot of time with what she's describing, her little pooch belly that's sitting out there, or her little can't get rid of that fat, is because the muscle has been cut. Let's say you have 3 layers of paper and they're all behind each other and they all slide behind each other when we move it. And I take a knife and slide it right down the middle of it or across it and then try to take those same papers and try to slide them. They're going to start hooking on the places that I cut. Does it make sense to all you? Can you picture that? So all those slice down the middle now has to become a scar. So now I don't only have 1 scar on the superficial muscle, which is the farthest one outside. I now have one on the middle muscle, and then I have one on my deepest muscle, which is transverse abdominis. And scars make little bumps. I don't know about it. I don't see too many fine scars because most of the time they're not done by plastic surgeons down there in that area. So that scar now rubs against each other. Now, underneath, when you breathe in and you're moving, it's scraping underneath. And what happens is it becomes a little debilitating, which means it irritates that area, so the area goes boom. So when you're calling down and saying, "Can you please move?" it's all swollen and irritated, and it doesn't like to cooperate with you. So in a nutshell, and there's another little situation when it comes to that also, is that it depends on how fast she had children, okay? And what happens is, trying to get my head wrapped around it, is you end up with vitiosstosis. I don't know if I said it wrong. I'm just trying to pull it out of my head. Is when your body organs start to settle down into your body. Does that make sense to you? Like you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if the children are, say, a year apart, for instance, maybe even 2 years, the muscles they're not able to get back in shape for the next pregnancy.
Correct.
And so they are beginning to adapt to this dysfunctional state, essentially.
Correct. And then that dysfunctional state becomes the brain says it's normal, and it's not. And then they're burning calories and kicking butt at the gym, and they just don't quite understand why they can't do it. And it is because when they get cut, the inhibition is there. It just starts to inhibition the whole inner unit, and I discussed that earlier. But within the ebook, I mean, within my ebook, 4-point transverse tummy tucks, horse stance series, strengthen the back, improve integration to the large, basically weight belt muscle that sucks your body in. Not your rectus doesn't do that. Your rectus is made for forward flexion. That's your six pack. You know, some heel slides and some pelvic tilts will tune that body all back in. So upon that, and then you end up with some vistiostosis, which is a condition that your body organs start to settle down into the lower part of your abdomen, and you kind of bloat out. And that's one thing that's why Indians never let their squaws have kids unless they were 3 years apart. Because the women back in the Indians' days had to do all the cooking, had to do all the cleaning, had to do all the... did majority
in
of work,
the water
never be down. Yeah, they couldn't be, you know, like they couldn't be down on the couch for 6 months. That wasn't the way it was going to work. So they figured out innately that, wait a minute, hold on, if this person has kids too fast, she becomes this. So that's just another one little thing. Not that you can't have kids, I'm not saying that, but understand that if you're going to have kids in rapid success, please be in super good shape when you start and have all this stuff down. And then if you have a C-section, understand what might be coming, which we just discussed. And then once the child has been born, try to do effective corrective exercise immediately to get yourself back into it. Because, again, your hormones and everything else are still out. Your ligaments are still lax. You still feel not right as a female body. And the sooner you can start doing that. And that doesn't necessarily involve, Bruce, jumping on the treadmill and starting to go. That isn't part of it.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm sure
okay.
You might have some add to that.
Question. That's tremendous information, by the way. That's great.
Thank you.
What is your opinion about cardio interval training on a treadmill, and what time frame should they be done in?
Okay, on a treadmill. Well, that's just a great, 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 great question. And the answer is I love it. All right? I use it immensely with my boxing professionals or anyone that really wants to peel off some weight. Interval training is the one of the number one ways to go. And basically what I do with people is I put them on a treadmill or an elliptical machine, and then I run them at, you know, like 6, and I make them run or walk depending on their level of fitness. And then I move it up to 7, then I move it back to 6, and then I move it up to 8, and then I move back to 7, and I move it up to 8, and then I kind of rotate it up all the way up to 10 and back down all the way to 6, but not just going up. I kind of overlap itself. So 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 7 to 9, back to 8, back to, and up and down. And this is another thing that I've kind of come to conclusion of with dealing with 1,000 people, is get your butt on the thing and go for it, okay? None of this, let's walk for half an hour and then start. Does that make sense? Our bodies are made to go immediately. I'm telling you, but if we go back in prehistoric time and you go, just a second, don't bite me, I need to walk to warm up first, you didn't live very long. So upon that framework, I kind of go on that kind of, you know, prehistoric type of thinking that, hey, get on the thing. What also happens is you go into fat-burning mode really fast because your carbo mode goes – carbos get used up really fast. I'm not saying this is for everyone, but you can give it a try. You can start at 3 and go to 4, you know, stuff like that. And that's one of my routines. And then I make them hold their arms up in a V, hold their arms up in boxing positions. You'd be amazed how fast they slow down. And that's kind of stuff I use for my boxers and for people that really want to just say, hey, I want to lose some weight quick. And that whole scene lasts for 12 minutes, not 45 minutes, because I guarantee you, and if when I do it and they do it right, they're done in 12 minutes, meaning they're pretty pooped out. And then, you know, and then basically in a nutshell, I put them on this up and down pyramid workout where they have to lift up some dumbbells, and they go up this dumbbell routine and then back down it. And I'd say within 25 minutes, they're done and out the door. And they're pooped, sweaty, and done. And it burns calories like, you know, it burns calories like crazy. I mean, it gets the results of what they're after. Yeah, it might be a little tough for 20 minutes, but they get used to it pretty fast. And other things I might use is I can put them, you know, if they can squat, if they can normally squat their body weight, then I can have them squat and do that, you know, rest 10 seconds to 20 seconds, make them do some push-ups, make them do squats again, make them do some pull-ups, you know, squats again, make them do lunges back and forth and back and forth until you get them sweaty and getting into fat-burning area. So those are kind of what I use is what you would just describe as interval training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a great routine. It's
yeah.
Yeah, it takes the intensity to really burn, doesn't it? It's
yeah, it does. And so all you guys that are sitting out there, you know, go for it. Don't be afraid that you have to go into this super slow. I mean, I'm gonna be precautious. Please go get yourself a medical exam so you don't have heart problems and things like that. But after a week of just slowly walking on the treadmill, you can start to ramp that up. And also, I'd make you a challenge to you. Make it fun. Make it a challenge. You know, make it fun by moving it up and down, and moving it all over the place. So the next time you come, you're just playing a game with yourself. And boy, the time flies a lot faster than if you're just plugging along. It just does.
And additionally, it keeps the muscles confused so they don't adapt
Exactly. I mean, and another routine is, you know, take a Swiss ball, put it behind your back, squat up and down with that 6 to 8 times at a slower repetition, do some dumbbell cleans and throw the ball down, do some dumbbell flies, do some lunges, do some side laterals, front laterals, dumbbell rolls. Now we've worked everything, and then you can do a little ab circuit, which I'm going to give them information on how to go get a little bit of information for that also. So you can, man, in my world, you want to kill five, you know, kill it off as fast as you can.
Okay, great.
Go
Next
for it.
Question. I guess we've covered this. I don't know if maybe you might
I can go into probably a little
add to this, but.
Yeah.
How can I flatten my pooch belly?
Well, we just named a few of them, but pooch belly syndrome can be, you know, caused by children or not caused by children. It can be excess estrogen resistance and everything. But what we want to do is talk maybe about how we get rid of it. What kind of supplements would my diet take? How's that sound? What would I be eating? Even though we're not, quote, nutritionists here to be doing this, but how do I get certain compounds, plants and dairy foods that naturally inhibit estrogen and to get it working in my metabolism the best way? One is to eat cruciferous vegetables. Okay, that's broccoli. That's cauliflower. That's, you know, what else? Brussels sprouts. That's cabbage. Things like that have certain active enzymes in them that help do the job really, really well. I mean, that's like stage one, you know, passion flower, some citrus fruits, grapefruits. You know, I wonder why grapefruit diet works. Chamomile tea. These are all estrogen-inhibiting things that you can take. Omega-3 oils, how many people are taking that on a regular basis? Or eating enough good wild-caught mercury-free salmon out there. Me, I just take it in the oil form and mix it up. Some organic dairy is pretty good for that. And additional foods, you know, that'll promote estrogenic hormones, you know, so almonds are great. And you know walnuts. The walnuts cause a lot of problems. They're little pesticides. Pesticides. The right word for me. You're going to help me find it. What grows in your intestines? Parasites. They don't like walnuts for some reason. A lot of them don't.
No. Backload and a parasite.
Something in a walnut.
We use.
Is it?
Black walnut hulls.
Yep,
is one
there
of
it is.
Enemies of parasites. But
there you go. Yeah, and so you want to be ingesting those types of things. Olive oil, wheat germ. And then basically, you know, stage three, you want to make sure you're eating a lot of green leafy vegetables, as everybody in the world always says. But so always start off with a good amount of salads at the beginning of your meal, because there's enzymes and things in salads that aid your digestion process. Spices, try to put turmeric, oregano, thyme, rosemary, and sage and these things on in your food, somewhere in stew, somewhere along that. And basically stay away from refined foods, you guys. I mean, I can't make it any clearer. And the big thing is soy. Soy is very estrogenic. I just want to let you guys all know that. You can go look it up. And the other thing, the last thing I'm going to mention is beer. For you people that drink beer, hops are super estrogenic. So you better be careful on how much you intake. I wrote an article this last summer, I do believe, on boozing harms fat loss. And the number one thing, if you're going to have anything, you drink red wine. And the last thing you want to drink is beer if you want to get thin. But then again, that all, and Bruce and you and I know, that all screws up your liver metabolism and makes losing fat really hard. Once you lose some fat,
I'll just add regarding the soy. Soy is bad on your hormone balance.
Yes.
But if it's fermented, like soy sauce,
correct,
it's not a problem with estrogen. But soy itself is maybe one. Soybeans are one of the worst things to foods to eat, and as far as upsetting that estrogen balance.
Well, good. I'm glad. Yeah, good. Okay, what's next?
Is I'm a 48-year-old female, not me, but the questionnaire, in great shape, just ran a half marathon, worked out 3 times a week with weights, but still have fat around my middle. What else can I do to get rid of that fat and get great abs? I selected this because I imagine there's a lot of people who, again, they feel like they're doing everything. They're working out regularly, probably watching their diet pretty good, and still not getting results, so they're missing something. What could you add in response
okay,
to that?
I'm just going to go back to, I wish I did know what she really ate. Okay, and in general, again, to go into a natural estrogenic inhibiting program, okay, and I'm going to fire off. You know, you want to make sure, you know, avoid plastic residues in foods and plastics and things like that are on your food, because those are chemicals, or I can't remember what they're called, but they have a lot to do with estrogenic properties. Try to detox your body daily by cleaning your liver and your kidneys and the digestive tract and things like that. She could probably try to eat organic as possible and watch what happens. Now, again, I just wrote a big article on, is organic worth it? Now, according to some studies that I ran into, and they're pretty new, the difference in nutritional value of a food item, an apple versus an organic apple, they still basically have the same things in them. So some people will say, organics for the birds, blah, 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 they're still nutritionally the same. However, when you take into account all the stuff that apple has on it that is not organic, and then you try to put it in the human body and let your human body try to figure out what chemical that is, then you're playing a different game. So for all you guys that are into organics, great. Now, my little supplement to organics is, if you can peel it, then you need to have organic. I mean, if you can't peel it, then you eat it organically. So an apple, unless you're going to peel the skin off, which most people don't, that's an organic item I would eat. Okay. Now, a banana, I probably could peel it, and I don't have to buy organic bananas. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's just, and that's because sometimes it can get just darn expensive. Shoot, if you got a family, boy, it can almost, you know, throw another third on your bill. And that's just kind of how I did it with 3 boys that eat me out of house and home. So I just went, okay, I just kind of divided it up. Like, okay, if you can peel it, I'm not buying organic. And also, you know, intake a massive estrogenic foods and things like that. And stay away from refined carbohydrates. Your number one problem, everybody, and Bruce is going to back me up. And then try to find blood sugar balancing herbs, such as shiitake, cinnamon, and things like that can balance your blood sugar. Me, sometimes when I get, like, kind of going too fast and I don't feel good because my lifestyle is running, I'll go back to eating nothing but blackberries, blueberries, raspberries. I'll juice a couple carrots with beets and parsley and have some whey protein. And I might do that for 3 or 4 days in a row, and that's all I eat during the day because it's easy on my body. It detoxifies my liver. It gets rid of any bloat if I happen to have it in my lower body almost immediately. And it cleans me out. It makes, you know, gives me about 10 times more energy. Now, I do that, you know, I'm not just going to go have one serving of it. I mean, I pretty much every hour I'm having one of those things. But that's another way to kind of, you know, go into a little detox and then kind of eat yourself whatever you want at nighttime. But, you know, most people pig themselves out at lunchtime or something like that because they haven't eaten breakfast, and that slows everything down and makes your body just work really, makes your liver work really, really hard on that. Avoid sugar laden protein products. Oh my gosh, just go to the GNC and read the first label of any of those protein powders, or 98% of them, you're going to find sugar, sugar, sugar everywhere. Sure. You just have to read on what sugar really is and how they relabel it, I guess. And make sure you're taking 100% multivitamin that's naturally plant-based. And I think you go right along with that thing because synthetic vitamins are brutal on your body.
Well, synthetic vitamins are pretty much you're buying a petroleum byproduct.
Oh, and what does that turn into? What is plastic?
What I tell people.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and trans fat's only one molecule away from plastic. It's almost identical with plastic, but you take a vitamin pill. For number one is you'll cause deficiencies because minerals work in with partners. So and so do vitamins. So you take vitamin C without bioflavonoids, you've got a poison rather than a food now because it doesn't occur that way naturally, you know, in nature that way.
Nature.
If you take too much phosphorus, you'll create a calcium deficiency. Well, what happens when you drink soda, which is loaded with phosphoric acid? You're peeing your bones and your teeth down the toilet. You take too much zinc, you cause a copper deficiency. You take too much copper, you make a zinc deficiency. So what vitamin pill out there can everybody take that is customized for your exact body chemistry? It doesn't exist. But if you take it in food, the food will cause a balance. You won't create deficiencies like you would taking it from the lab. And so most of the vitamins are made from, I mean, they're chemicals. These are drugs, not food. Your body wants, you know, your body needs food for fuel, not drugs. So
I agree.
Most of it's coal tar. Niacin is made by it's created in the presence of asbestos. B12 has to come, except for spirulina. It's usually an animal product. So if you have B12, it's from a reliable source. I've been told the lab-made B12 comes from either cow carcasses or activated sewer sludge. They clean up sewer sludge because it has to come from some type of animal byproduct.
Amazing.
So anyway, when research shows that cancer patients taking synthetic vitamin pills, they get worse. So vitamin pills won't create deficiencies. They won't solve it. So I encourage people to use superfoods that are packed with nutrition.
I agree.
Avocado is a great superfood.
Oh, absolutely.
Do some research on that. I've got over 80 organic herbal products, and what I use instead of vitamin pill, I have a product called Earth's Nutrition, which is made with, and it tastes great in juice. In water, it tastes planty, but in orange juice, it tastes great, but it's got beetroots in it, which will also detoxify your liver. It's got citric rind and spirulina, cracked chlorella, and activated nutritional yeast, which is not brewer's yeast, will make you bloated because it's alive. It's an active yeast. So, to get your bees, you can use nutritional yeast that doesn't have active yeast, and get all the B vitamins without the brewer's yeast bloat. So, if anybody wants information on that, again, send me an email. I'll send you my healing manual, and it tells you how to detox the liver, how to cleanse the colon. Just send an email to support@fitnessguruadvice.com. And also, in terms of a lot of times that pooch is because of the colon. Average Americans carrying around about an extra 5 pounds of old fecal matter in their colon because they think if they have one bowel movement a day that they're regular. But when you get into more primitive societies, they have a bowel movement for every meal. If you're having 3 meals a day, you should be having 2 or 3 bowel movements a day. And the guy who thinks he's regular with once a day, when a lot of doctors may even think you're okay if you have one, you know, a couple times a week. But if you have one a day, you're behind, you know, 8 to 14 for the week. And what happens is your body's not made of plastic parts. The colon is porous, just like all your organs, and it begins to seep that waste back into the blood system. But anyway, a lot of people, when they cleanse their colon, that'll help, may not reach their goal for weight loss, but a lot of times it'll begin to flatten out that pooch area of the body. So again, if you want information on that, you can send me an email at support@fitnessguruadvice.com. Anything else that we didn't cover, David, that you would like to say?
I think we did a pretty good broad spectrum part of that. I'm going to give these guys some addresses that they can go and get the posture and stubborn fat book. So basically, flattenyourabs.net, and then there's a backslash, and then just posture, posture.html, and then flattenyourabs.net /stubbornfat, stubborn fat, fat.html. Both those little e-books will help you out immensely. And then Bruce's advising we've talked about. Those are little offshoots of the Firm and Flatten Your Abs e-book that I had written, and it works extremely well, even in my clinical area and via the internet. It does its job, and I'm fairly proud of it, and most of the people that have gone down that road have found a massive amount of success combining all that stuff together. And then I'm always there to answer all your questions at any time that you want to email me at david@flattenyourabs.net. And that's about it, Brucey.
Okay. Thank you, David. And I want to encourage everybody on the call that David gave a ton of information here, and a lot of people say knowledge is power. I don't agree with that. Knowledge is not power unless it's acted upon. And so I encourage you to write down, right after this call, write down 3 action steps that you can take immediately that will begin to help you to reach your goals, whether it's to get that six-pack abs showing or lose weight or many other areas that we may have covered.
Hey, and one more thing, Bruce. If they go get the book at your address right now, I'll give them the Abs Guru Speaks, which is an interview that's about 40 pages that talks a lot about this. I'll give that to them for free. It's usually paid for on the website, so I'll throw that through the web address that you had given them. And then they go in and get it, and they just email me at david@flattenyourabs.net. I will give you an in-depth interview, and I might even throw in Mission Abdominals, which is another one. So it's an interview discussing a little bit of this and more. So that's my deal for them, too. How's that sound?
Excellent. Well, that's a tremendous bonus, plus all the other bonuses that are with Firm and Flatten Your Abs. So once you purchase Firm and Flatten Your Abs, the e-book with the bonuses there, email David and get the give the title again on that, David.
It'd be Abs Guru Speaks.
Abs Guru Speaks.
Abs Guru Speaks. Yeah, and if they just email me and just tell me they bought it from or had purchased it, I'll throw that. I'll give them that too.
Okay, and if you can give your email address one more time,
David@flattenyourabs.net. After you go through the process of purchasing it, just then take my email at david@flattenyourabs.net and just email me, and I'll fire it off right to him immediately.
Okay, great. And you can get Firm and Flatten Your Abs at flatabs.fitnessguruadvice.com. flatpads.com. And again, advice is with a C and not an F, flatpads.fitnessguruadvice.com. David, thanks so much. I'm sure everybody on this call highly benefited from the call today. The tons of information that you gave, and it's been a lot of fun. And I'm sure a lot of people will they'll want to get some of these bonuses as well as the firm and flatten your abs after the call today. So thanks a ton, and it's been great.
You're more than welcome, Bruce. Have a good day.
Thanks, David. You too. Bye, everyone. Bye.